up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of A Week Late Podcast, the world-renowned A Week Late Podcast. My name is Darren. I'm your host, a.k.a. Analysis489, for all you gamers and hip-hop heads out there. This is episode 60. Welcome to the new listeners. Welcome back to the returning fans and listeners. In the background, you will hear, if you hear anything, it will be not the sound of my computer machine, but the weather. I do live in Florida, and in my particular area, it's the lightning capital of the world, so you're going to hear, if you do hear any background noise, it will be the thunder and lightning. Lightning doesn't make noise. This is a podcast in which I review movies that are a week late, have been in the theaters for a while. This one's a little bit different in that I am going to be reviewing a movie that is still in theaters, but by the time you listen to this, so as to not spoil it too much, which is the whole premise of it, kind of. You will be listening to this a week after this film has been released. That being said, the movie we're going to watch today and review is Elysium, starring the formidable, if that's the right word, Matt Damon, Jodie Foster. Before I get into who else is in this movie, mainly because I haven't done any research on it, and I'm doing so right now on the wonderful IMDb. I'm a huge fan of Matt Damon. I have seen 99% of everything he's been in. He's one of my favorite actors of all time. Without getting too deep, pretty much I could say I don't know why, but I do know why he's one of my favorites. He co-wrote and starred in one of my favorite movies of all time, Good Will Hunting. That movie literally saved my life. Ever since then, I've been really into anything that he's done, anything that Ben Affleck has done. Ben Affleck took a little bit of the long road getting to the same level that his friend Matt Damon's in. He's never really picked a bad role, so anything that he's in, I usually thoroughly enjoy. I have not yet seen We Bought a Zoo. Although I wasn't a huge fan of that one movie that he was in where it was almost like The Matrix, kind of. I'm going to kick myself for not remembering this. I just recently watched it, too. Let me see if it comes up here on IMDb. I have not seen Behind the Candelabra. Didn't even know that existed. I didn't know he was... I actually did know he had appeared in House of Lies on Showtime, I believe. I have yet to watch that. I did see Contagion was very good, and The Adjustment Bureau is the movie in question that I kind of... I don't know. Could have been better. Not any fault of his. The movie suffered for other reasons, but none of which I blame on Matt Damon. Another really good movie that he was in was The Departed, and all the Bourne movies, pretty much, I'm a fan of. Like I said, I could go on and on praising the great Matt Damon. Also in this movie, Jodie Foster. You know, to be honest with you, not too many other names that I recognize. This movie was made by the same people that did District 9, if I'm not mistaken. And the description reads thusly, set in the year 2154, where the very wealthy live on a man-made space station, while the rest of the population resides on a ruined Earth, a man takes on a mission that could bring equality to the polarized worlds. Obviously, a science fiction flick, which I'm a huge fan of. I'm a big fan of Jodie Foster as well. If you're not familiar with her, probably the most recognizable thing that she's ever been in is Silence of the Lambs. She was also in Contact, which is one of my all-time favorite movies as well, with Matthew McConaughey. Inside Man and Panic Room were probably the biggest movies that people would recognize her from, Contact being up there on that list. Diego Luna is also in this movie. People might recognize him from recent fame in movies like, what was he in? Jeez. Well, IMDb is saying Milk, which I haven't seen. The Terminal, which I also haven't seen. God, there was this movie that he was just in that he was most famous for, and it's not listed here for some reason. Again, I'm going to kick myself for not knowing this off the top of my head. Casa de mi Padre, which is an all Spanish movie starring Will Ferrell. I have not seen it, but I heard that it was hilarious. He is kind of a crossover. He's kind of huge in the, I want to say, Mexican acting world, and he's crossing over from that to mainstream in those recent movies. For the new listeners, the grading scale, especially for movies in the theater, happens on a scale of 0 to 11, 0 being the absolute worst movie you've ever seen that doesn't deserve a rating, and 11 being the best thing you've ever seen on the face of the planet, words cannot describe. Actually, that would be an 11D versus a number 10. 10 is perfect, 11D is the best thing you've ever seen. This movie is directed by Neil Blomkamp. I believe he's the same person that directed District 9, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of the producers and the sort were involved with District 9 or involved with Elysium. He's also listed as directing some SG-1 and Smallville episodes. So, not too sure if we have any Superman fans out there, but Smallville is the story of young Clark growing up. A lot of hardcore Superman fans don't really like Smallville, but a lot of hardcore Superman fans do, me being one of them. And I know it's sort of like a teeny bopper CW version of Superman, but besides some of the later episodes, I think they did a pretty good job on that. Anywho, I will describe like my expectations going into this movie. I clearly have not seen it yet. I kind of wanted to watch this movie in IMAX and 3D, but we're going to settle for the standard version today. And by we, I mean my friend Richard and my brother, who's been on the show before. Going to go watch it with them, but I didn't want to force anybody to be on this episode with me. So this is kind of an impromptu thing. We weren't really planning on this, as we hardly ever do. I have high hopes for this movie. I thoroughly enjoyed District 9. I'm a big fan of sci-fi movies and even bigger fan of Matt Damon and Jodie Foster. So I want to see how well they play off of each other. And I'm just really interested in seeing how this movie plays out. So I'm going to go into it with high expectations, meaning that my score will probably be upwards of 7 and beyond. Anything below that will probably be a disappointment, and you'll definitely hear about it. But I don't expect any disappointments from this movie. IMDb rates it at around a 7. I don't usually go off of that at all. But there you have it. That's what the internet thinks of this movie so far, even though it's only been in theaters for 2 days. The internet has a very quick response time. For the returning listeners, you will notice that I took kind of a week off between the last episode and this one solely for the purpose of allowing the interview with Clench Fist to breathe a little bit. For the new listeners, it is an entertainment podcast that started off with movies, mostly movies and TV shows and music, actually just movies and TV shows, and has recently moved into the music side of things. You can go to aweeklate.com, which is probably how you're listening to this, or soundcloud.com/aweeklate to listen to the previous episode. I'm kind of just letting it breathe. We're just coming off of a huge weekend that we did with a sponsor of the show, Rookies Sports Bar and Grill in Spring Hill. little bit of a rain delay, and as I say that, hopefully you can hear it through the mic, more thunder. It's just summer in Florida, folks. It rains almost, you can set a clock on when it rains here over the summer. But besides that, it was a great show. And to listen to an exclusive interview pre-show, you can check out the exclusive interview with Clench Fist. They rocked it. Everybody did a great job. Zero incidents. Over 700 people attended. So thank you for making that a memorable event. And anybody that I met had nothing but kind things to say about the podcast. So thank you for that. And I'm going to try to keep doing this as long as I get positive feedback. Once it stops being fun, you'll know. And but I mean, movies don't stop being fun for me, so I don't think there's ever I don't know, we'll see how that goes. But I want to thank everybody for listening, the new listeners that are coming on, either from hearing about us from the show, from the rock show, or the various different sort of campaigns that we have advertising not only the podcast but the other facets of entertainment that we're involved in promoting as well. Wow. For more on that, you can go to 489entertainment.com, the numbers 489 and the word entertainment.com. That's all of our music stuff, crossover with the bands and interviews. But like I said, this is episode 60, and we're going to watch Elysium. For the new listeners, you're going to hear some intermission music brought to us by our good friend in Orlando, Mr. Aaron Bond. He is responsible for the soundtrack of this podcast. And when we come back from the break, I would have watched the movie. I will get into some minor details, give the rating, and then there will be a spoiler countdown, which I have yet to download the sound effect for. So I may do it on myself, or figure out a way to incorporate that into the podcast. Of course, this whole podcast revolves around me being too broke or lazy to get to the movies on time. Therefore, you know, also, I used to listen to podcasts that were like review movies before you even had a chance to watch them and kind of ruin everything for you. This way, I'm waiting at least a week or later, and you know, spoilers abound after the countdown. So that's it. I'm looking forward to seeing some new trailers. The last movie I went and saw in the theater was probably, geez, I can't even remember, Star Trek? Maybe? The new Star Trek? Iron Man 3, Man of Steel maybe? I don't know. Somewhere around there. But I have no idea what trailers have been in the theaters for the past couple of months. So it's going to be interesting. I might do some trailer reviews if I can remember to jot them down somehow. It's kind of strange. The more I go to the movies, I realize that they want you to shut your phone off at the beginning, but they also have a bunch of stuff before the movie that plays that interact with your cell phone. So we really need the theaters to sort of step it up on that decision. With piracy running rampant in the digital age, it's obvious why they don't want you to have your phones on. But I'm pretty sure it would be blatantly obvious someone recording an entire movie on their cell phone. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Anyway, that's the intro for episode 60 for Elysium. Go watch it so I don't spoil everything for you. Or if you're one of the people that don't really care and are brave enough to do so, stay tuned for part 2 of episode 60 for Elysium on the world-renowned A Week Late podcast. Go watch it. Go now. Episode 60 for Elysium. Once again, I am your host, Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489. For the new listeners, if you're wondering why I do the a.k.a. thing, I said at the beginning of the first portion that I have, that's pretty much my gamer tag, and also, like I said, hip-hop heads. If you go to 489entertainment.com and do the proper research, you'll find a couple of my tunes under my pseudonym when I do the hip-hop tunes. Or production or DJing, that's pretty much my performer name, / gamer tag, therefore tying it in with the whole entertainment podcast. We're going to do things a little bit differently for this portion. As I mentioned in the first part, this is all impromptu. It was like a last-minute idea to go to the movies. Unfortunately, my brother could not go for whatever reason, but Richard was able to go, and we had the bright idea for him to help me out. So I'm bringing in this. I think this is a first time first for this podcast ever for me to bring somebody in the second portion only. But here you go. So, Richard, thank you for joining me. I appreciate you helping me out.
Thank you. Always did go to the movies.
Yeah, man. We have a good time going to the movies. This is by far not the first time we've ever gone to the movies together. If I even started to name the movies we've seen together, we'd probably be here for a few minutes.
Let's see many more.
Yeah, for sure. Starting with some feedback for Elysium. You know the format. You've heard the show many times. Richard also came through to the Rock the Block show yesterday to support Clench Fist, Goodnight Neverland, Rumble Pack. Oh, God, I can't even remember the other two bands. That sucks. I'm sorry. Dropshot, and I missed one. I can't remember the other one. Anyway, who cares? They probably care. But he was there helping me out at the Rock the Block show in Spring Hill, promoting the podcast, the new photography website. We ran into some new friends, some old friends. We had a good time. So thanks for that as well. He's pretty much, I think you care about promoting the website more than I do, which is terrible. That should never be the case, but your enthusiasm is not overlooked, and I appreciate it. On to the year 2154 with our good friends, not our good friends, we don't know them, Matt Damon and Jodie Foster. I want to do a redaction, is it, or a retraction, or a correction? I mentioned I didn't really recognize any of the other names in this movie. I want to correct myself by mentioning Mr. John Carlyle in this movie was a pompous CEO of, I believe it's the Velodyne Corporation or something like this. But without giving away too many things, the new listeners will appreciate the fact that we'll put in some kind of special effect to count down to where we will talk about spoilers, but until we give our ratings, no spoilers. So if you're one of the people that don't mind listening to spoilers, you'll know exactly when to continue listening. On the other hand, if you don't want to hear any spoilers, you'll know exactly when to stop listening. William Fichtner, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, has been in many a role that I am akin to. One being, what's the name of that? Well, first of all, he was in a couple of Entourage episodes. Also, Prison Break. I don't know if you've ever seen Prison Break before. Richard shook his head no. He's not verbalizing. But I just wanted to acknowledge him because I like to acknowledge when I recognize someone in a film and what their accolades are. So there you have it. William Fichtner. Prison Break, one of the best TV shows I've ever seen, hands down. I would watch it again if I could. I mean, I can. I just don't have the time, is what I mean. Okay. Richard.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned that, well, I brought you up to speed by allowing you to listen to the first portion that you weren't around to listen to when it was storming god-awful outside. And by the way, yes, the thunder did pick up through the microphone. But I was mentioning I wanted to see the interaction, how Matt Damon and Jodie Foster play off of each other. That barely happens in this movie, but I don't think that's necessarily a spoiler, but I do want to get into that. Going into this movie, did you have high expectations of everything that was going on in the trailer, that the things, the previews that you did see? What were your expectations of this movie going into it? Were they low, middle, or high?
I really didn't have expectations. You and I talked about what we want out of our science fiction movies. We want to be taken on a wild ride adventure.
Yeah.
And in the opening scenes, it did just that, and I knew it was going to be a great movie.
Yeah, I think you're right. I loved the cinematography in this movie. I think a lot of people get annoyed, and I don't know for sure because I don't get any feedback from you people. fans.aweeklate@gmail.com. Go ahead.
But when you mentioned Jodie Foster, Matt Damon character, really the storyline, the conflict is between Jodie Foster and her hitman.
Correct.
That's where...
It's very interesting. There are a lot of relationships, what do they call it, a dynamic going on in this movie. It's a lot more than a science fiction flick, but I'll get to that in a second. But so that means that since this movie was classified as all those things, sci-fi, action, in some cases even a thriller, I was kind of at the edge of my seat sometimes with the suspense that they put into this movie. I wasn't expecting either. That being said, going to a sci-fi movie for you automatically means the bar is high. If you're going to take the time out to go see it, I expect this, this, and this. In your opinion, did this movie do that, this, this, and this?
Yes, it did.
Okay. And why would that be? Without giving up spoilers in the movie, because we're going to have a huge, you know how it works, we're going to have a huge section at the end where we talk about,
yes.
We pretty much rip it apart.
The special effects were beautiful.
Amazing.
And part of the special effects is sound. I love the sound effects they use with the weapons.
I do too.
And with the jets and the
sure.
Shuttles.
Very believable,
that.
Right?
Yeah,
like
very,
very
good.
Believable. One of the things I was telling you is that since this was I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying this was a sequel, but a follow-up to the crew that put together District 9, I think they used the same exact special effects house. I'm pretty sure it's a local in-house, but the budget that they had for District 9, far lower than what they had for Elysium. And I know this for a fact because when District 9 was released, I believe at Cannes Film Festival, people were wondering how such a low-budget sci-fi movie got such great special effects. So these people know how to make something look really good with a little bit of money. This movie looked that much better with a lot of money.
It was fun to watch.
It was fun to watch. If you had to give this movie a rating, which you do, from 0 to 11D, 11D being the most perfect movie you've ever seen, there's nothing wrong with this movie, no storyline flaws, no issues with special effects, no issues with continuity. The 0 is the absolute worst movie you've ever seen that doesn't deserve a rating, and 11D is the absolute best, there's nothing wrong with it, it's perfect, and if you say otherwise, you're wrong. Type of score. So, on a regular scale, from 1 to 10 would be normal, but since this isn't a normal podcast, we're going from 0 to 11. You can rate this movie the worst possible thing you've ever seen.
Definitely.
Biggest
is.
Piece of shit you've ever seen, and it'll be a 0. And you have the right to do so. This is my podcast, so.
Definitely an 8.
Perhaps. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting. I think that's fair because I am teetering. And I'll tell you why. We did discuss briefly in the ride on the way back here that...
The lead-up?
Yeah, I thought that maybe there were a couple of plot points that they may have missed on that I'm starting to figure out in my head may not be actual loopholes. But because of the doubt that it even exists, that it was... wait, that shouldn't be happening, or how come this happened in the beginning and it's not happening now kind of thing. It wasn't like a continuity, But
a little more information at the front end would have been helpful.
Yeah, but that's where I find fault in this movie, is that there was a lot of information at the beginning that was given, which made the loophole even pop up towards the end of the movie. And when I get into spoilers, we'll touch on that. But because that had arisen, I think 8 is fair and solid. I want to give it more than that because I love Matt Damon so much, and Jodie Foster is hot in this movie. Am I wrong?
She's surprisingly well trimmed.
She looks great.
I'm not a Jodie Foster fan, but I liked her in this movie.
Yeah, she played a very powerful female lead role. She was very demanding and commanding, and
she had to play a role of a bitch. And she demanded,
a bitch in charge.
Yeah.
And she did pull it off. Another thing, thank you for bringing that up, that dropped a point in the score for me, was the politics behind Elysium. Elysium is this city in the sky, as it were, city in space, where in 2154, the wealthy, top-tier rich, the elite of the elite, live on Elysium, and they have access to their own government, their own technology, their own defense systems, and their own politics. And their technology, they pretty much possess the ability to cure any disease known to man, making it literally the place to be. What happens is that also the political overtones in this movie is something that District 9 had, which I really like about this particular group of people making this movie. Neil Blomkamp was the same person that directed District 9, and I think he surrounds himself with story writers and producers that want to give you all of these awesome elements in one movie, kind of like Star Wars did. If anybody is a Star Wars fan, or a Star Trek fan for that matter, there's a lot of politics involved. It's a space federation, or, you know, there's always a hierarchy. It's like a naval academy in space. They all go by naval terms. There's always a government involved. They sort of...
But what's nice about it, the political aspects does not weigh
right.
the movie down, slow it down, or
it's
take away
it
from the characters.
They leave you with the idea, thinking about all these things while you're watching explosions on the screen, like, wow, if this did happen in real life, this is probably what it would look like, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I'm talking myself into a higher rating, and I don't like to do that.
I won't let you.
I want to go with my first instinct and give it an 8, but I'm going to give it a little bit higher than that, since I'm starting to figure out my own quote-unquote loopholes. Maybe in the conversation of spoilers, I'll prove myself wrong and want to go lower, but I'm going to go 8.5 on this, man. It's a solid movie. There are spaceships. There are explosions. There are conspiracies. There are governments being overthrown. There are political overtones, cool weapons. The soundtrack that you mentioned, not only with the sound effects, but as someone was leaving, I don't know what he really meant by this, but in my head, first of all, he said, he was asked by whoever he was with, he's like, well, did you like it? And he goes, I could have sworn it was a musical. I don't know what he meant by that, but I'm thinking he was trying to insult the movie in saying that there was too much music in it. I don't know what he meant by that, but I would take that as a compliment. If I did such a great job on the score that someone noticed it enough to complain about it in a good way, it's a musical, I mean, I take that as a compliment. I don't know about anybody else, but the sound design was great, because when bullets were flying by your head, you could hear them flying by your head. Like, I want to take this to another level and watch it in IMAX 3D if it's possible. I had a really good experience watching Star Trek, the second one, Into Darkness, in IMAX 3D, and it was one of the best movie experiences I've ever had. So, and it may have bumped up my score a little bit when I did the review I don't think I did an official review, did I? I don't think it was an official review. I went to, I didn't do a podcast on that one because I went there with my family from New York and I didn't want to ask them to be on my show, you know? So there you have it. You give it an 8, I give it an 8.5. That averages out to what, 8.25? I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I would definitely recommend it. It reminded me at different parts. I guess we can start getting into the spoilers now because I want to start talking about the suits, the exoskeletons, and I think a lot of that will get into plot points and we're going to say things that are going to otherwise spoil the movie for somebody that doesn't want it spoiled. So at this point, I think I'm just going to download that sound effect I heard of earlier. There's like a countdown, or perhaps the scene in Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow where Angelina Jolie counts down from 10 to 1. I'm probably just going to get 5 to 1 in Angelina Jolie's voice and use that as my spoiler countdown.
Ah.
I don't know. And if I don't, then that's my idea. Insert here. All right. So now that I gave myself a edit point to put in a sound effect that I probably will never download, what did you think of the suits? Did it remind you at all of Iron Man at any point?
Oh, yeah.
Did it?
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
That is...
But in a better way, there's a detriment to how he almost becomes a superhero in this movie. It has an origin story kind of similar to that of the Hulk, where he gets irradiated, and instead of turning him into an all-powerful green creature, he gets sick. Without the idea of bettering yourself as a human being, with being exposed to the idea that you only have 5 days left to live, he loses all his goodwill, get it, Goodwill Hunting, and goes off to find out that he's got nothing to lose. In order to get to Elysium and heal himself from radiation sickness, he needs to pretty much modify himself by allowing computer hackers to fit into his neurosystem, correct? It's not making any point that it's wrong. Connected to his neurosystem. Is that what you call it?
I would say so.
Through a number of modifications, added screen to the back of your head, which to me doesn't make a lot of sense. Wouldn't the data that's on the back of your head be needed for the person wearing it? How are you supposed to see that?
It seemed like the hardware was on the heavy side for a human that they put on there. But the illness that he encountered during the movie created the urgency in the story.
Right. To get to Elysium.
Which was really good element.
It was. What changed that element was the introduction of his childhood best friend. Her name was Frey?
Yes.
Played by Alice Braga. She did a very good job in this movie, I think. I think Chloe Saldana would have been better to use for this. But this movie felt very in the future, like the Mexicans had taken over. Everybody was speaking Spanish, at least in L.A., anyway. This movie takes place in a futuristic L.A., as do 90% of Hollywood movies. I don't know why I said that. 50% of Hollywood movies. The other ones take place in futuristic New York. But
this future is not in a metropolis, it's a slum.
Yeah, I think you described it as a shithole. It's pretty bad.
Thus the need to get off Earth.
Right. Everybody has this dream to make it to the city in the sky, and it's just your place in the world. If you're not born into the elite, you're just a regular schmo on Earth.
And it's the only place where you can be healed from severe illness.
Right. which there seems to be a lot of in 2154. Everybody looks like they're, like, the hospitals are decrepit and run over, run down. Everybody's sick. This place, you're right, it's a shithole. There's nothing. It seems that the future of L.A. is doomed. What ends up happening is Matt Damon becomes the transmitter of data from William Fichtner's character, John Carlyle, the aforementioned CEO of the company that Matt Damon works at. This guy stood by and watched Matt Damon pretty much die of radiation poisoning and did nothing to help him. As a matter of fact, was so beneath helping him that he didn't want his skin to fall off on the hospital bed because he didn't want to change the sheets. Like, this guy was a real douchebag. He gets in cahoots with Jodie Foster's character to try to write a reboot program that would allow for the renaming of a new president on Elysium, which would be her, in exchange for a 200-year contract that would solidify he's pretty much Halliburton at this point, solidifying his place on Elysium as the weapons defense guy, the head mother effer in charge, the head code guy for years to come. I'm not sure why it would have to be 200 years, because he's not going to, unless Elysium makes you immortal, those healing machines make you immortal, that contract seemed to be a little bit outrageous. 200 years, who cares? I'm only going to be around for the next 50. But, whatever. The battle ensues. The pretty much the peak of the movie happens when John Carlyle is hijacked by the now fitted Max, Matt Damon's character, with this exoskeleton suit. One of the deals made was with the people that suggested Matt Damon put on this suit to begin with in exchange for a ticket to Elysium so that he could heal himself from having this radiation sickness. He runs into his childhood girlfriend at the hospital after he's beat up by a couple of robot cops. Apparently, cops in L.A. are just infamous, whether they're robot or otherwise, are infamous for beating people up. Another thing that I found sort of political commentary, it was very subtle, but it was there. Like, even cops, even robot cops commit horrible, heinous crimes in humanity. You know what I mean? Like, it seemed like they were saying no matter what, cops in L.A. are always crooked. Like, they're beat the shit out of you even when they're robots. I don't know. Maybe I looked too much into that. But without pretty much reciting the entire movie, Max uploads information from Carlyle's brain before Carlyle dies. That's a huge spoiler right there. As does pretty much every important character in this movie, which is very strange, very out of the realm of sci-fi. Usually all the important characters sort of, you know, they're going to be okay because they have to be around for the end of the movie. There's no way they're going to kill off Han Solo. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know he's always safe. Not in this movie. But anyway, that being said,
you know what I was surprised about?
Yeah.
The black guy made it all the way to the end.
That's funny. Weren't there two?
Yeah.
Or one of them was a Hispanic guy. And,
yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
But the black guy makes it to the end. I thought he was going for sure halfway through, you know, because
that's
he was
funny.
In that gunfight, and he makes it through that, and he makes it all the way up to...
You're like, when am I going to kill the black guy?
Just on a side
note. That's funny. Speaking of black guys, though, we pulled into the parking lot of the movie theater, and for a brief second, you hesitated. You're like, wait a minute. Is this the movie where Jamie Foxx plays a president? And I'm like, no, it's not. You're like, okay, we can go then. I thought that was so funny because I had just recently heard how bad Olympus Has Fallen is. It's a movie where Jamie Foxx plays the president.
It bombed.
It did. I think people were expecting way too much out of that movie. And I was watching an interview can't remember the name of the actor at this point, but he was on Conan recently, and he said he was laughing through the whole movie, and it's not a comedy. So that's pretty bad when it's supposed to be an action movie and dudes are laughing halfway through. But anyway, moving on. We find out that, obviously, Damon, Max, has the key to not only change the structure of the Elysium government, but they also have the power to change the citizen registry of Elysium that would be eligible for fixing their ailments, pretty much healing the planet, which pretty much at this point is just LA. They don't show any other, it's pretty much Los Angeles, which I think District 9 was as well. They like showing bleak futures for LA. Maybe that's saying something, I don't know. Speaking of the Iron Man-like exoskeletons, to me this movie felt like a origin story of sorts, a hero story. Like I said, the Bruce Banner thing where he's bombarded with radiation instead of becoming a big green monster for good, he's essentially the opposite. They beat the shit out of Matt Damon in this movie. He's always breaking an arm or getting stabbed, getting shot at. Pretty much a broken hero almost all the way through the movie. There's not one time where he's 100% health. Maybe the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Did you like the fight scenes?
They weren't the same style as I'm used to watching Matt Damon as Bourne. And he's got this very cool and smooth sort of
martial arts
type choreographed style. Very, very cool.
Street fight type element.
This reminded me a little bit of Real Steel. And that's a huge insult to this movie. Not in any way, shape, or form, but where you're pretty much accompanied by a machine 24 hours a day. The superhero aspect of it only comes from that origin story where you're finding out the relationships with all these different people, his backstory as a kid. There's a lot of Spanish subtitles in this movie, which to me wasn't a big deal. I know Spanish, so I wasn't reading to understand what was going on in the plot. I was reading the subtitles to make sure that they were being translated correctly. Some words here and there, but, you know, whatever. There's a lot of different slang in the Spanish language depending on what Spanish you speak, what dialect. And did you find that distracting? That
not at all. They did a good job with that.
Okay. Because, I don't know. I think for some reason, I am Colombian and Puerto Rican by, you know, that's just my heritage.
And it was an essential part of the plot to be able to know what they were saying.
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Because if you noticed, one of the sisters, one of the nuns he was talking to, gave him that locket that was very substantial at the end, and the whole story behind that, I think, is very pertinent, and it dawned on me at the very end that she said to protect it, and I took it as protecting the actual locket itself, but at the very end of the movie it comes to mean a whole new different meaning that he wasn't just protecting the locket with a picture of the world in it, he was protecting the world itself, that everybody has a special place in this world, they are supposed to do something, and that was his one thing, which also reminded me of iRobot with Will Smith, another black guy. He always wondered why his arm was made up, or the robot's arm, I can't remember which one it was, but his arm was always made up of something better, a composite that he didn't know really why it was made out of this composite, and at the end his arm ends up saving the world, pretty much. So everything, you know, the nun obviously says, you know, you're special, everybody has a place. He comes to meet his place in the world, but one of the things that slowed me down a little bit was that the bad guy needed time to change into his suit. Like, if he was in a point of conflict at that time with Max, he wouldn't be like, hold on a second, I have to go change into my suit. You know what I mean? Like, people are drilling shit onto this guy's already existing frame, and that takes time. Did you notice that? They were, like, putting his extra cool suit on at the end for him to, like, be another 30% stronger than Max
or whatever. For the epic
battle. They needed time to put that suit on, and they showed that time progress through, you know, hammering and screwing and sawing and all this. And it's like, okay, what if they didn't have that time? It was a full-on surgical experience for Max to have this armor literally screwed into his bone structure, which is another reason this movie got knocked a couple notches down. Is like, they didn't give Max's character enough time to physically heal between him putting the suit on and going out and kicking ass. Like, all that stuff would obviously hurt a hell of a lot.
That's where I had a problem was, okay, he's sick, beat up, and now you're going to send him off to fight.
I kind of had an issue with that as well, which is why this movie obviously wasn't perfect, but it wasn't enough to knock it down to something that we hated by any stretch of the imagination. But I'm like, they're really kicking the shit out of this guy. After they break his arm, he barely gets to breathe before they put an exoskeleton on him. After they put the exoskeleton on him, he barely has a chance to breathe before he gets stabbed. After he gets stabbed, he barely has enough time to heal from the stabbing. He's still holding his stab wound at the end of the movie. Like, he is not dying, but he's clearly beat up. One thing that did bring the points down a little bit was that he got unsick way too fast by just the use of some pills. And I'm no doctor. I don't know what these pills do, but they sure as shit do not cure radiation sickness. Thank you. And I just found it how his whole thing was to get to Elysium to get healed, but he seemed to be doing pretty fine without that machine. They never gave you any indication that the suit was helping him heal.
No, not at
all. And it seemed like it was, because he just kept kind of getting better and better and better. A little bit more gory than I expected the movie to be. We saw faces blown off by grenades, people being blown in half and into smithereens, like four or five different pieces.
Oh, I love when the robot got blown up.
That was pretty cool. They did have some very cool special effects.
Never saw it done like that.
Yeah, it was like, and they paid special attention to the ammunition that the weapons used in this movie. Like, this one does this, this one tracks that. The one that he used had multiple explosions. You know, in a lot of car chase scenes or mob movies, they'll show a vehicle being blown up. And they'll show that same vehicle being blown up the same time, but from multiple angles. This wasn't one of those. This was multiple explosions happening in succession after each other in slow motion to make sure the target is dead, correct? It was like the first explosion was a little bit, like, say, 10 feet in front of your face. The second explosion was 5 feet in front of your face. The third explosion was 2 feet in front, making sure that the target freaking dies. There's no if, ands, or but about it, but the way the robot exploded in slow motion was freaking awesome. You saw little bits and pieces, like shards, go all over the place. And another thing during that epic fight scene that you were talking about which, by the way, I do also have to retract the guy from the first, no, I'm sorry, District 9, the gentleman that the movie revolves around plays this other guy that is pretty much upgrading his exoskeleton over Max's. He's got a little bit more of a badass suit, but he plays the agent in cahoots with Jodie Foster's character, which in turn, another huge spoiler, kills her when his authority is questioned, changing the entire point this movie was pretty much led on for you to believe that she was going to take over. That no longer becomes the plot point. It becomes whether or not Max is going to get to the healing machine in time, but becomes our true hero when he ends up saving Frey's little girl, who is sick with her final stages of leukemia. Therefore becoming the true hero versus the broken sort of anti-hero. He's very flawed, but he's still a good guy, you know? his name, I can't remember. I want to make sure I get this right because he's a hell of an actor. Charlton Copley played the main character in District 9. And I'm also just realizing, holy crap, he plays Murdoch in the A-Team. I didn't know that that was him. That's very interesting. It looks nothing like him. Interesting. He's a very good actor. Played a very good villain in this movie, if you ask me. In that twist, he kind of tries to take over Elysium, making him want to be the new ruler, like not wanting it to do for any good reason, other than for being the head mother effer in charge.
Speaking of acting, these type of action adventure films, it's common for there to be overacting, over the top. It did not happen in this movie, and that was nice to see.
Except for, can I mention another thing that lost a couple points for me? Even though Jodie Foster looks great in this movie, I don't know if she had an ass double, but they kept showing her from the backside, and she looks amazing. Like, I don't know if that was her ass or not, but I don't know how old she is either, and it doesn't matter. Also, she likes girls.
And you mentioned a part about her accent. You wanted
that's
to,
what I'm getting
to
at.
Talk about that.
The elite in this movie, they knew multiple languages. They mostly spoke French, if I'm not mistaken, which is another sort of political commentary. Like, the elite didn't speak Spanish. It was like it was beneath them to speak the same language that most of the people in L.A. now speak.
So what accent was her character?
I don't know. I never figured it out. That's my problem. At first I thought it was a British accent, then it sounded French to me.
Sounded Russian.
And you said it sounded Russian. So I don't know, man. I don't know what they did, if she did that on purpose or if they were trying to show how diverse she is in her regular life. Like she's just that awesome. She knows that many languages and she has that many accents. I don't know if it was done on purpose or if that was just the way they went with it. I also found some of the dialogue, some of the Spanish accents, even for me being Spanish, I found it hard to follow.
Oh.
Did you lose some dialogue because of the Spanish accents or no?
A little bit.
I was worried about that. I want to watch it again, like in IMAX for the experience, but also to catch some of the dialogue that I didn't get. And we didn't get there in time to see the previews. We got there, as a matter of fact, like probably 10 seconds too late.
Which is not a problem because this is the kind of film I want to see again.
Right. And I think it's not going to weigh too much on my decision as far as bringing the score up or down. I think it's going to stay the same for me at about 8.5. I just want to know what it is I missed. Like, and if anybody else was really straining to hear what was going on through the Spanish accent, I don't want to say anything against the actors because I feel that it's especially from, like, a Mexican actor to make it into mainstream Hollywood is probably super hard. And this movie had nothing but Hispanic actors with heavy accents to lend to the authenticity a little bit. But I think it was also a detriment to the movie in that it hurt the progression of certain events because I didn't understand what they were talking about. Do you have anything to add to that?
Not about the accents or the...
Anything else?
Go see the movie.
Yeah,
like
don't take our word for it. Go see the movie if you haven't already. And if you're one of the people that we spoiled the movie for you, there really are a lot of very cool visual effects that really can't be described. You have to just go look at them. One being the fight between, what's his name? Charlton Copley's character. The agent, if you will, his name was Kruger. Kruger and Max fight at the end, and there's this cool sequence where they're trying to punch each other, and the camera's doing a sort of a Matrix style around them fighting. When he's punching with his right, the camera stops time and follows to the left, and then as the other guy throws his left, it sort of spins around the other way. It happens very quickly. But I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was a very cool action shot. It was very Matrixy though, the way it was done. And the facial when Krueger gets his face blown off and his brain wasn't damaged, it kind of, I'm like, why would they bring him back? Why wouldn't they just assume?
He looked gone at that point to me.
I don't think anybody could have survived that. His face was missing, and they said his brain was intact. They reconstructed his face.
It was almost nonchalant, the way they were...
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, this happened again. It's like, his brain's okay, let's just bring him back. It's like, why wouldn't you just usurp his position and move on with your life? Like, you had the chance to become the head mother effer in charge, and you sort of shun that off, you know? But I don't know. I wanted them to do something with the tech that he had on his cheek. And instead, they blew his face off and gave him a brand new face without that tech on his cheek. And I'm like, I wanted them to, like, put a mask there or, like, a weapon of some sort that had... they didn't explain why the facial tech on him. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like everybody had sort of implants, like technological implants on them without any explanation as to why this is a thing now in the future. Wouldn't we all be able to just put on mech suits and beat the crap out of each other and try to get to Elysium every single day? I don't know, but
good sci-fi films should be enjoyed on the big screen. Don't wait for it to come to your home. Go see it on the big screen.
I would agree. I'm going to go watch it on the even bigger screen than we just watched it on, IMAX. I think the experience is worth the money, and if it's a good theater and they do it right and they do 3D, can definitely change the way you experience the movie. I really like this movie. Don't take our word for it. You should go check it out. Have you been doing any TV watching?
A little bit.
What are you watching on TV?
Star Trek.
Seriously?
Yeah.
The original or the Next Generation?
Next Generation. And
yeah.
Stuff like that.
I don't know if you know this about me.
Stargate.
Really?
Once in a while.
Which one? SG-1?
I think the next one.
What is it? Atlantis?
Yeah.
Atlantis. That has Richard Dean Anderson in it as well. I was a big fan of Stargate Universe. If you haven't seen that, it's really only a season and a half long. It doesn't take you long to get through it. It's really good. I really like the Stargate series, although Stargate Universe was the only one I ever watched in its entirety. Star Trek, as far as that's concerned, Into Darkness, probably one of my favorite movies of all time. Especially, I saw that in IMAX 3D. It was amazing. It was incredible. But the TV show itself, I have seen in its entirety Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And I believe I've seen it in its entirety Star Trek Voyager. I've seen probably 90% of all Star Trek The Next Generation.
Did you like Babylon 5?
I could never really get into it, man. I wasn't... I was just about to say that... What I just said about Star Trek makes me sound like way more of a Star Trek fan than I actually am. I am by no stretch of the imagination a Trekkie.
Neither am I.
But I don't know that many people that have seen Star Trek Deep Space Nine all the way through either, so that kind of makes me a nerd.
I didn't like Next Generation, but I wanted to see Babylon 5.
Interesting. You didn't... I particularly enjoy The Next Generation for Data. Data?
Yeah.
The robot. Well, he's not a robot, really.
My mom watched the whole Next Generation series.
Yeah, and didn't say much to you. I liked all the episodes that revolved around Data. He's one of my favorite characters. His origin story is a little weird. They find him inside of a holodeck program, which is kind of confusing because, I don't know, I'm not even going to go into the whole Star Trek rhetoric.
This, Matt Damon does deliver
he
in
does.
This movie.
This is another one of those movies where his performance, man, like, when he does play sick, he's really good at it. There was a scene where he, like, pretty much threw up in the middle of the living room, and I was like, oh, that's gross, but believable. Right now on TV, I am catching up with Arrested Development on Netflix. If you ever get bored, you have access to my Netflix account at my brother's place, and... I really enjoyed it. He actually has been wanting to get me into watching Arrested Development. I haven't had time in my schedule recently as of late, but I did crack it open, and now I'm in the middle of season 2, and I can't stop watching it. It's really funny. I thought it would be funnier because everybody talked it up a lot, but it's got Jason Bateman in it and a bunch of other great people. Michael Cera, Portia de Rossi. She's gorgeous in that show. She's gorgeous and funny, and her character is just very, very well done. Very well written. I'm glad that Netflix brought it back. It's an exclusive on Netflix now. They're finishing up, I believe, the final two seasons, and they're giving it a movie. And then we're going to be done with the rest of development. So I'm going to try to get caught up as they are in the process of bringing the movie out. But as far as I know, the rest of development is in its last season on Netflix. So I've been watching a lot of that. I have yet to finish the very last season of 30 Rock. It's not yet on Netflix, so I might have to find it elsewhere. Wink. And I'm not even going to go into video games because that's sort of not your thing. Music-wise, we've been talking about it for a while. It finally happened. We did the rock show yesterday with Clenchfist and all those bands I mentioned earlier. Episode 59 is an interview with Clenchfist a week before the show. It's still relevant. It's only been a day. Go listen to it. The expectations were met on that show, even though it got rained out pretty much. But people stuck around, braved the weather. It was an awesome show. That's what we got going on with music anyway.
People had a good time.
Yeah, that's all that really matters. Nobody got hurt because of the weather. Come to find out, so much so that I was helping hold down a tent through a lightning storm and a tornado warning. I had no idea. So there's that. I could have died this weekend. On that note, that's a terrible way to end a podcast. I escaped death, everyone. Actually, that's a good way to end the podcast. I escaped death this weekend.
Thanks for the invite to the show and to the movie. Had a good time.
Thank you for coming to both the show and the movie, and for helping me with this podcast. To listen to more episodes, go to aweeklate.com. We are on soundcloud.com/aweeklate. You can find us on facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast. Episodes are also available there for free. On iTunes, search A Week Late. Get more information on the music that we promote, the rock bands that we interview on rocketsports-ent.com. Also, 489entertainment.com. The number is 489entertainment.com. We are facebook.com/fenentertainment. And what am I forgetting? I think that's it. Go watch this movie. Highly recommended. Go check it out. Don't listen to what we have to say. And if you think it sucks, email me, fans.aweeklate@gmail.com, and let us know how wrong we are. There's that. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for the returning listeners. Thanks to the new listeners that are joining us. Go back and listen. Even though this is episode 60, there are over 80 episodes available right now for free. We never charge a thing. And if you don't like it, go listen to something else. All right. Thank you, Richard. That's all I have to say about that. My name is Darren. We are at A Week Late on Twitter. If you want to send me any suggestions for some movies you might want to hear me review. I don't watch bad movies on purpose, but I'm not over watching a bad movie and ripping it to shreds. One day through this podcast that will happen, but so far all the movies we've picked are pretty solid. I do have to say, I'm going to get some stats together to see what the average movie gets as far as reviews on my show. I probably won't tell anybody about that either. There you have it. Go watch Elysium. This has been episode 60. Thanks again, Richard.
Thank you.
And I will see you a week ago. Cheers.